But I will preach as long as I can stand here, and that's good. God's healing me, and I thank God for his touch. I will tell you that your body and your mind and your creativity and your life needs rest. Everybody say rest. Turn to your neighbor, say rest. You need to prioritize. Some of you are so exhausted right now. Came here today tired. You need some rest. So I'm going to tell you that we want to talk to you a little bit today about being well rested. Well rested. Amen. And so if you'd go with me to Isaiah, the 28th chapter, I want to hit two prophecies in the Old Testament. And then I want to just end up in Acts chapter 2 where these prophecies were fulfilled. We've been speaking on the Holy Spirit a little bit, what speaking in tongues is, how it's used, how churches have received it, what its modern day uses are. We've been kind of just speaking a little bit about dunamis. Everybody say dunamis. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the word for the power. But as we go to Isaiah 28, it says these words, "For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to his people, to whom he said, this is the rest." Everybody say rest.
Rest.
"Wherein you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear." In other words, he's speaking to the people, saying that there's going to come a promise that God's going to use the Spirit to be our Sabbath day. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
We don't have a literal Sabbath that we have to observe, even though the Bible does tell us to keep the Sabbath holy. We understand that the Sabbath is the Holy Spirit in us being the rest for us every single moment. Are you glad he walked with you every day, every moment, that his rest is with you just to call on anytime you need? Let's thank the Lord. Jesus, we thank you for the word of the Lord to go with us, to keep us, to guide us. I pray your Spirit would just help us today. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. This particular prophecy was given, starts out in Zechariah, that we see another prophecy in Zechariah where it's talking about people who were born into captivity. Now, there's different time periods in the Bible. It's best to know the context of what's going on. But in Zechariah, it talks about people being born into captivity. Now, in the days of Solomon, who was a very wise man in the Bible, he's the son of King David. When Solomon passed off the scene, Israel was split into two kingdoms, a northern kingdom and a southern kingdom. The northern kingdom, still known as Israel, more colloquially as Ephraim. But the southern kingdom was Judah. That's where all the praise was. Everybody said amen. They only had praise in southern Israel, apparently. But that's where the Lord chose to send a very powerful message through the prophecies of the Word of God. And now, Zechariah gives us a picture when he says that God's going to bless his people. And I'm just going to turn over there because for some reason I didn't choose to mark it. But let's do this. Let's talk about for a minute the power of the rest of God. And I'll get back to that moment. Let's just table that for a second and I'll come back to it. Because Zechariah makes a very powerful statement. He says to Zerubbabel, which is a word that means born in captivity, which means the seed of Babylon, because they were conquered by Babylon. And so these people that he was speaking to, even though he's speaking to all of Israel, Ephraim, and he's speaking to Judah, he's saying that those that were born in captivity are going to come out of that captivity, reflecting a birth that was different from where they were born. In other words, what I'm trying to say is there is a power with the Holy Spirit that allows you to come out from where you've been born into. Or if you've ever had the moment where you say, well, my family's just like that, God's Spirit not only gives you rest, but gives you the ability to come above that statement. In other words, you don't have to be what you were born into. You get to be called out of that. So in Zerubbabel's time in the Scripture, it's just a very interesting passage of Scripture, but I started looking into rest, and I went through the Bible and found all the scriptures that have to do with rest, and I realized how important it is for recovery, performance, all of these different things. There's statistical data that I found that mimics being inebriated after a certain number of days that you haven't slept. If you go 48 hours, it's mild inebriation. You're just driving on autopilot. And so I started finding that a very interesting complication that's coming up is that physical bodies start to break down when you don't get enough rest. And so I came across something that's happening right now. Everybody say Tour de France. That was very American. Can you say Tour de France? Anybody? Tour de France? The Tour de France is going on right now, and it's on the 27th. Many of us miss it because it came out of popularity after Lance Armstrong and the Live Strong whole thing. A lot of us knew about that. But nowadays, they're going just as strong, have just as strong teams, and just as strong athletes. But one thing that they do that I found out is the professional cyclists participating in Tour de France, I guess if you go back far enough, often have their own mattresses and pillows provided by their team to ensure optimal sleep and recovery during the race. This is a map of where they're going to ride at, if they can throw it up there. These are all the places where Tour de France is going to ride, through the Swiss Alps, different legs, and that's why it's called the Tour de France, because they stop one section, and they move to another difficult section, and then they're basically just abusing themselves all the way through France. Basically what it is. And then if you look at the riders, they are specifically given, if they don't have their own, they're specifically given a team that carries their mattresses to make sure that the rider's comfort and performance are controlled, that they get the sleep environment that they need. They sometimes even bring blackout curtains as well as air conditioners and potentially allergenic filters so that they can be at their best when they're racing Tour de France. They have prioritized sleep. Everybody say sleep. Because they know they can't be at their best unless they're rested. Can I just pause for a minute and jump off Tour de France? I'll say it however many times I want to say it just to keep your attention. And can I tell you that no matter how many mountains they're running through, no matter how many topographical things that they're accomplishing, no matter how hard the race is through the mountains, no matter how well they've trained, no matter what they've done, they have prioritized not even just the best gear, not even just the highest bikes and the highest helmets and the highest gear and the highest protein and the highest gels and the highest dehydration helps of getting through this race. They have entire teams that go with them, and in that team is an entire section of people that are just dedicated to giving them the best rest they can get while they're on the race. Can I tell you that the church itself needs to start prioritizing the rest of the Holy Spirit? Because we have programs, we have made the church theatrical, we have put lights and smoke. Don't get me wrong, I love it all. But I can tell you that we need to get back to the power of the Holy Spirit resting in us, resting on us, and resting on our children. We need to know that there's a place to go where God's power is going to show up. And we need Him desperately in our day. There are people that need to be recovered out of things they can't get out of. There are people that are looking to go to higher levels of performance that can only do it through the dunamis power of God's mighty hand helping them. There are people that need consistencies in their life that they've never been able to truly get laid into their life. And the Holy Spirit can help you by giving you the rest you need and the focus you need. He can help you minimize discomforts, and He can give you what you have to have in the time of your need. We need the power of God on display in the church. The rest is important. Rest is important, but we also need dunamis on display. The power of God grows the church. Amen? And so Isaiah chimes in saying that 700 years before the book of Acts, that God's going to pour out His Spirit on all flesh. And that we're going to have access to that same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. It's going to be allowed to be in us. And we're going to be able to walk through our life calling upon the Lord. Not only His name, but His power and His Spirit to help us. That is not just a right, brothers and sisters. That is something that we ought to do every single day. When you get up, you ought to pray over your loved ones. You ought to pray over your children. You ought to ask God, please, Lord, bless them, but also protect them and send them with a power that saves and leads them. They need to be guided as well. Your children need guidance, especially in the world we're living in today. Someone said amen?
Amen.
So he said, this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest. And in in prophecy in Daniel, it says that in the last days, I believe we're living in the last days. Now, we can go through all of the eschatological stuff we want to, but I believe we're living in the last days. And the Bible says in Daniel that the enemy will try to wear out the saints. Saints would be church people, the people that walk with God, live for God. They haven't just called him called him Jesus, but they've called him their Lord. And so when you're walking with God, you're living in the Spirit. You're trying to do what God calls you to do. You've made a decision to follow him, and you're going to follow after that decision. You have to know that the enemy is going to put a bullseye on the back of your life, because he does not want you to represent the power of God in this earth. He doesn't want your life or your marriage to represent the bride and the groom, the bride being the church, the groom being Jesus. He doesn't want something in this earth that looks like it's wholesome and healthy and growing and thriving, because he has no hope. He wants to give hopelessness. I've hit that for the last three sermons because I want to be in that vein. We're creating an idea, though, that if we're busy, we can't be rested. If we stay active, we can't be rested. And that's not what the Bible teaches us. The Bible teaches us that we can have the power of the Holy Ghost with us in an active schedule, that we can be trying and striving to do things and still be rested. I want to tell you, you need to take a physical day off one day a week. Can I tell you that?
Yeah.
You need to go ahead and plan yourself a Sabbath where you plug in to the Spirit of God and you plug in to the Word of God. I know most of us have devotions during the day on almost any given day, but God finishes his work best when we continue with him 7 days a week. Well, he doesn't need us to have one Sabbath and then not be in his presence the rest of the week. He wants to walk with us every single day. Somebody said amen to that? All right. And so Genesis 2:2-3, God finishes his work. And if you're looking for why we need a Sabbath, I would tell you that God programmed rest into creation. And we are part of creation. He said, I'm going to create. So he finished his work and rested on the seventh day. And God blessed the seventh day and he made it holy. And he asked us to keep the Sabbath. Now, when we keep the Sabbath, what are we doing? We're giving ourselves to the presence of God. We're making sure we're spending time with God, that we're taking moments to focus on the Word of God and his Spirit. Prayer is a very key focus on how we spend moments of rest. You get to refocus your mind and you get to realign your priorities when you sit in the presence of Almighty God. If you do that in the morning or you do that in the evening, I never had a real good success with morning prayer for a long time just because of the way I'm wired. I get up and I want to go. Anybody like that? You hit the floor and you're just ready to go. If you have that same build, then you need to just find a place to pray in the evening. I always got beat up by pastors in pulpits because they're like, well, when you pray in the evening, you're only apologizing for all the stuff you did throughout the day. You're just asking God, forgive me for that. Sorry, I wanted to slap them. Just kidding. But what happens is you find your groove. You need to find what works for you, but you do need to have a presence and a place with God every single day. You need to get into a posture where you walk with God and his Spirit. Keeping the Sabbath and making it holy is actually spending time in God's presence. So Exodus 20:8-11, it says, remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy. 6 days for labor, seventh is the day, Sabbath day of the Lord. Remember of God's rest after creation. In other words, in Exodus, he's telling the people, you're going to take a physical day. The Jews still observe this day, Friday, sundown, till Saturday, sundown is their Sabbath. So some people have built entire religions around that. Seventh-day Adventists still believe that on Friday they need to have a day off, and Saturday is their day of worship. But God did not design just the day. He actually gave it to the people of Israel for their health and for remembrance of God. But when we get filled with the Spirit in Acts chapter 2, you're going to see that Peter's preaching, and he hauls us all the way back to some of the prophecies in Joel and says, this is that was spoken of the prophet Joel. In the last days, I'm going to pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. It's talking about Isaiah. It's talking about prophecies in Joel. It's talking about all that. And Peter just goes back and he sews it all together. And he says, this is everything that God was promising all the way from the beginning. Everything in the Old Testament spoke of Jesus. Everything in the Old Testament was a shadowing of what was going to come. And now we stand in the light and we get to see all that he's doing in the church. Miracles happen. Power of God falls and things change because we know we're walking in the Holy Spirit Sabbath. Someone said amen to that? So we find plenty of places. Deuteronomy observed the Sabbath. Isaiah delight and honor the Sabbath. Mark, in the New Testament, Jesus states the Sabbath was made for man and man not for the Sabbath. He's debating with religious leaders, and it gets all the way down to Hebrews, and it says a Sabbath rest remains for the people of God, encouraging to enter the rest through faith and obedience, that there is a rest that comes in our life through faith and obedience to the Word of God. And Paul picks up and chimes in Colossians and says that the Sabbath is a shadow of things to come and the substance of Christ in our life. So we find out that the pouring out of the Spirit was powerful, but it was for all people, not just one group of people, not just Jewish people, not just, you know, Samaritans, but it was for Greeks and all kinds of different relations and different people. So the dream that is shown to us, where Joel is saying he's going to pour out his Spirit upon all flesh in Joel chapter 2, we see that God is showing through the Scripture that it says in Joel 2 and 28, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids is this day. In those days I will pour out my Spirit. He's saying there's no classification that doesn't have access. That's what he's saying. There's no group of people, no race or no gender, no color, that does not have access to this powerful Spirit of God being poured out in their life. And so even though he's talking about servants here, he's saying it doesn't matter your status. You get to have access as well. And so he's saying there's something powerful in the Old Testament that leads us to understand that when Peter, even though the Holy Spirit was poured out when they were in the upper room in Jerusalem in Acts chapter 2, Peter's stepping out with the same feel in Acts chapter 2 in verse number 16. Peter's like, everyone's saying, man, these men are drunk, so they get filled with the Holy Spirit in the upper room. They're all sitting there. The Spirit of God moves in like a rushing mighty wind. They all began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gives them the utterance. There's some sort of representation, the Bible says, that looks like fire upon their head. It doesn't say it is fire. It says it looks like fire on their head. And they get so excited, they start dancing and shouting and spill out into the streets of Jerusalem, which is having their festival weekend. And so then there's people there from all nationalities, all races and creeds. And so then they're all like, these men are drunk. And Peter gets up and says, no, they're not drunk. This is only the ninth hour. This is only the ninth hour of the day. So then he gets to preaching, and he's like, he gets into Acts chapter 2, and he's like, this is that which was spoken of the prophet Joel. He goes all the way back to the original prophecies, and he says in 2 and 16, he says, but this is that which was spoken of the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Have you heard that verse before? We just read it in Joel, Acts chapter 2, verse 16, 17. And your old men shall dream dreams, and your servants And on your handmaidens I will pour out in those days my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heavens above and signs in the earth beneath. And so he goes into the exact prophecy from Joel in Acts chapter 2 when they're actually having the Holy Ghost poured out for the first time on human beings. And so they're filled with the Holy Ghost. They spill out in the streets. Peter says, this is that was spoken of in the Old Testament. This is exactly what he meant. And they all understood that. Have you ever bought something and it came in the mail? Help me out here. And it wasn't what it looked like in the advertisement? Anybody get mad at that other than me? I mean, have you ever gone and purchased food off of a menu? And you're like, man, that's going to be amazing. Look at that. I've even pointed to a menu and said, could you just bring me all of that? Just bring me everything that's in that picture. This is a picture of a cheeseburger at McDonald's. They're going to put that up on the screen. Doesn't that look amazing? Now, the cheese is probably plastic. We know that. That's really not good for you. Don't eat that. But this is probably really not food at all, just so you know. I'm not doing a health lesson here. But if you understand how McDonald's works, you know the pictures look better than the real deal, amen? Amen. And this is not that, just so you know. Not even close. But I figured, you know, everybody has a bad day. Someone's not having a good day in the back. They didn't make a good cheeseburger. So I'm like, hey, can you give me your daily double? I want, you know, lettuce and tomato and something. I'll make it a nice burger. And so they're like, yeah, we can do that. This probably couldn't be fed to birds, actually. It's probably harmful. That will be there, like, in, you know, 2090. It'll still be sitting there. And so I had to make me a daily double. This is what a daily double looks like. Doesn't that look good? A little bit of Dr. Diet Pepper. I had a dad joke there. I'm going to avoid it. Does that look like that? That's not even close. You probably would have need... going to the hospital after this. This is not that. But somebody needs to know that the Holy Spirit that's in the church today is just like what they experienced back then. That what you feel when the energy and the power of God starts to move in this house, this is still that. It's not false advertisement. It still works in the world today. People are set free from addictions. People are brought out of hospital beds. People are lifted up out of depression and anxiety. All because this still works. This is still that. The thing that brought Jesus out of the tomb, it's inside this church today. And it's very real. And it does not disappoint you. He will help you and guide you, and you will look back and say, God's hand was upon me the whole time. He's not handing out bad cheeseburgers.
No, sir.
Not got a daily double for you that doesn't daily double. I don't know.
Double the poison.
I just wanted you to know that not everything in this world is as it's advertised to be. In fact, the enemy will put things in front of you and say, this is going to be good. And it never leads to good things. Amen. He came to kill and steal and destroy. And he's interested in doing that in every area of your life. But when you walk into the power of God, you will find out that this is everything he wanted it to be in your life. It's everything he wants it to be in everyone's life. Amen, someone.
Amen.
This rest is a gift of restoration in our life.
The original word is Shabbat in Hebrew. It means to rest or cease, to be still and know that he is God. That same word is not used in that same place, but nuach is used in the Greek. To rest or to settle down or to be quiet. The problem is we have so much noise in our world that we have to intentionally become quiet and spend time in God's presence. In order to get what he is offering us, we have to go after him and rest in the refreshing that he offers. There's so much that the Holy Spirit does for us. Give me a few minutes more and I'll finish. But the benefits of the Holy Spirit infilling in your life, according to Scripture, in Acts 1 and 8, is it empowers you to witness about God. But ye shall receive power, dunamis. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria. And here we are in the uttermost parts of the earth. That the Holy Spirit being in your life becomes a witness to those around you that there is still something real worth hanging on to. And there is a place where what's advertised is what you receive. Amen?
Amen.
The Holy Spirit gives you guidance and teaching. Everybody say guidance and teaching.
Guidance and teaching.
The Holy Spirit guides believers into all truth and teaches them. In John 16, 13, it says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, everybody say the truth. Truth comes from the Spirit. So we know that the Spirit is a spirit of truth. That's why when the Holy Ghost gets in your life, it'll start dealing with you on moving things out of your life that don't keep you happy and healthy because it's working as a spirit of truth. You need to know that. And some people try to avoid it because they don't want that to happen. But I can tell you, what he removes from your life is always going to leave you better than what he puts into your life. He's going to put in good things where he takes things out. I promise you that. And so he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear. And shall he speak, that shall he speak, and he shall show you things to come. In other words, the Spirit of God will guide you to things to come, and the Spirit of God will teach you truths in your life. Have you ever had that feeling, that gut feeling, like something's a little bit off? If you've ever had that feeling, that may be your spirit being spoken to by God's Spirit, saying, hey, be careful, watch out. You need to know that there's something here to be careful of. You need to listen when God's Spirit is speaking to you. You need to pursue his guidance in your life. John 14, 26, the Holy Spirit will teach you all things. But the Comforter, the Bible says it's a Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. He shall teach you all things. Everybody say all things. And bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. It's something that reminds you of things. It'll remind you of past victories in God. When you get low on a Tuesday and you don't remember what God has done for you, the Holy Spirit will come and say, remember when he brought you out of that. Remember when he set you free from that. If he can do it then, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's going to do it again. The Holy Spirit will remind you of his victories in the past, because we have a tendency to forget quickly, and to remind you of God's mercies and God's graces, and it'll enhance your prayer life. Everybody say prayer life.
Prayer life.
The Holy Spirit helps a believer in their prayer life to intercede expressible groans that cannot be put into words. Romans 8, 28 or 26 tells us this, that in the same way or likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. Everybody say your infirmities have an option. Yes, they do. If you have an infirmity in your life, you can pray in the Spirit and God will help you. For we know not what we should pray. In other words, there are times when we get in situations and we don't know the right way to pray. But the Spirit can help us. So you should, for we know not what we should pray. For as we ought, or we don't know what we should pray, or how we should pray, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. In other words, the Spirit is able to pray through us in the language that God has given us. The power of the Holy Ghost allows us to pray in the perfect will of God using the gift of the Holy Spirit to do so. So the prayer that we pray is enhanced because we don't know the will of the Lord sometimes. When we get done with a prayer, sometimes we even say, Lord, if it be your will, let it be done. But in the interim of teaching what is happening with the Holy Spirit in the fruits of the Spirit or the gifts of the Spirit, I have to tell you, your prayer is more powerful if you can learn to pray in the Holy Spirit. Your prayer is more powerful because it makes groanings that cannot be put into language. The first thing that we see also in Galatians when we're seeing the Bible written, Paul's talking to the church at Galatia in 5:22 and 23, and he says that the infilling of the Holy Spirit produces a spirit transformation of character, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. Everybody say love.
Love.
All of these other gifts run off of love. I said that last week. You have to understand that you cannot have a gift from God that doesn't embody love. So if you're not using love to approach these other things, then you're going to approach them wrong. So the love of God is filled in our hearts, expressed into our hearts through the power of the Holy Spirit. And now we have love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, there's other ones, and a sound mind. There's different ones that work for us that the Spirit of God is actually doing. He's transforming in us the ability to have meekness and to have temperance. Against such there is no law. In the Old Testament, it's trying to say there's no law against these things, but God's going to help you love better. God's going to help you find more joy in your life. It's not just a perspective change, brothers and sisters. It's a presence change. It's the power of the Holy Ghost in you that helps you change your perspective on where you are, what you're doing. It brings peace to your life. Just this week, I can't say because the cameras are on the names, but I was at work, and there's a certain individual who's the aggregate. You know that person? They're constantly a grace builder. Hello, somebody. Oh, is that all I need to say? They're constantly on your last nerve. Did that catch you? All right. Put that one person in your mind. This is that person. I'm sitting at my desk. That person comes in, sits down. First thing they walk in, where can I work? Get me a chair. And I'm like, all right, yeah. And suddenly, I have to have some temperance, amen? Because I love Jesus. But when that person walks in, I'd like to throw punch a brother or sister. I'm just saying. There's moments where I got to have the Holy Ghost check me. Because, I mean, I'm making fun, okay? I'm really not that kind of person. I'm very temperate. My wife can tell you, I'm pretty mellow. But I'm doing everything this person asked me to do. I got other work to do. I got my work to do. But I'm making sure they're comfortable and they got a spot. And then I start working at my desk. And all of a sudden, this person says, hey, aren't you a pastor? And I'm like, yeah, I'm a weekend warrior. I pastor on the weekends. And this person said, I need you to pray for me. And this person has caused what am I going to do? I'm going to throat slam them in Jesus' name and cast out every... No, I'm not. We're going to break some tables, buddy. No, I'm just kidding. It's all in play until the Holy Ghost steps in. And so I'm like, I didn't know you were going through. Did you know that hurting people hurt other people?
Yeah.
And the chances of someone in your workplace being an absolute curmudgeon, that's the best word I could find, curmudgeon, is often linked to their own hurt somewhere in their life.
Amen.
And so this person asked me, would you pray for me? Now, I don't know if this person's Catholic. I don't know if this person expects me to holy water them. I don't know what they're expecting. But I got my hand on that person's head. Right in the workspace. Now, I might get fired someday if my boss walks in and I'm doing this. But I felt like the Lord told me, just do what you do. And I reached over and laid my hand on her head. I said, I'm going to put my hand on your head. And I said, by the authority and the power of the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost invested in me, and by the name of Jesus, the name that is above every name, I command rest over this body. She said that she was having nodules develop on her thyroid because she hasn't been sleeping for months. And I commanded rest over that body because Jesus built that body in the womb. He can heal that body. Come on, somebody, speak up like Jeremiah. In the womb, I formed you and I fashioned you. He knows how to heal. And I laid my hands on her head. Luckily, no other co-workers came in. She started Niagara Falls. I just thought, well, God, whatever you want to do. And I just kept praying. And then I released and I handed her a box of tissue. And I said, God's going to give you rest. And I just went back to work because it's not my job. It's his job. I just have to be obedient and pray. If God doesn't do it, that's up to him. Amen. The next day, she texted me. She said, I slept entirely through the night for the first time in months. Come on, somebody. That is the rest I'm talking about. You can command it over something. You can say, be at peace, be at rest, be temperate, be holy, find joy. You can call it over something, and God will use you. Amen. The fruit of the Spirit can be at work in your workplace. It's a spiritual gift. The Holy Spirit distributes various spiritual gifts. Obviously, 1 Corinthians 12 speaks to us about this, and it details wisdom and knowledge and faith and healing and miracles and prophecies, all connected to the infilling of the Holy Spirit and its rest that it gives. Amen? Discerning of spirits, even. Discerning of spirits. I'm just going to run through this media and the interpretation of tongues. Amen, somebody. That's all there in Scripture. It's not weird. It's in the Word, okay? It needs to be done decently and in order. The Bible says it's supposed to be handled decently and in order. But it is there in the Scriptures. 1 Corinthians, you can read it on your own, 12, 7 through 11. It also gives us freedom from sin. If you can't get out of an addiction, you need to find a place to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to help you as a believer in your life to live more righteous. Because through Romans 8:2, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit, amen, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Sin's power is broken when you get God's Spirit in your life. Amen. And we have a hope of heaven, so it conquers death as well. Hope and confidence comes in Romans 15, 13. The Holy Spirit fills believers with hope. We're about to go into the fall, and we have a big plan for doing is reaching as many people as we can with this church with hope, because I believe there's a lot of hopelessness right now out there, and we're going to start with hope is here. Let's get some hope in the house, amen? We're going to do that this fall, but look what this scripture says. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of what? There it is. The Holy Spirit is what gives you hope and joy. If you're feeling hopeless in a situation, command the Spirit of God to go to work on it. And then leave it in his hands. Don't pick it up. Don't worry about it. I know some of us are natural worriers because you have a strong mind. That's a strong mind. If you go to bed at night and you stare at the ceiling and can't go to bed, God bless you because you have been given a strong mind. It's the curse of a good mind. But when you're laying there, command the Spirit of God to bring your mind peace and move away from worry and move into faith that God's going to handle it. If you cling on to it, you will cling on to it and worry about it. But if you release it into his hands and give him the outcomes, God will make it better than you could have made it. God will make it come to good. Yes, he will. Last one, he's a comforter. You already saw that. He offers comfort through his Spirit, John 14, 16. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you. I'm sorry, I'll read off the screen. And I will pray to the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. Everybody say comforter. That he may abide with you forever. What's my message? Take your mattress and your comforter. All right. We're done here. Know that this is that was spoken of the prophet Joel. Know that there's nothing like this. Know that even when you don't know if it's going to work, still lay your hands on something and pray over it. Know that if your baby's got a fever, lay your hands on them and pray for them. I'm not removing science. I'm not removing anything. But those things can't fully express the personal relationship that the Holy Spirit wants to have with you. Amen? Amen, amen somebody. Science is wonderful. I love it. I love engineering. I'm glad that we could all drive here in air conditioning. I'm glad there's air conditioning in this room. I'm glad that we have all the technology advances that we have. I know that we're getting to places that we don't even want to talk about right now because it's not within the purview of this particular sermon. But the reality gap is closing. AI is going to do things that we never saw it do before. Manifest AI is coming. Yes, it's not in my sermon, but I want to tell you that God is still in control. He will always be in control, and His Spirit is in control. So you need not worry about a World War III. You need not worry about what AI is going to do to the world. I know we worry. I know we're thinking about it. But I tell you, He's still in control. You can still lay your head down on your pillow at night and say, God, You've got this night. Give me rest, and I will do my best tomorrow. Hello, somebody. Sometimes you just need a nap. Sometimes you just need a nap. I've said enough. Would you stand with me? Somebody's like, I'll take a nap. The nap I'm talking about is the Holy Spirit, the power of God. Would you bow your heads with me, Jesus? In this room, there are amazing people that You've guided all their life. I want them to be full of the Holy Spirit. I want them to lead and be led by Your Spirit, God. There's people that have management positions in their jobs. There's people that are leaning into new things right now. Lord God, I pray that You just give them grace and that You remind them that Your mercies are new every morning. That when the sun comes up, that we need to know that You will give us rest through our nights, that You'll give us rest even in trials, even in our dark moments, that You'll be there, that You'll walk with us through the valley of the shadow of death, that You'll even keep us in the hardest trials of our life, that You'll be near us, that You'll be close, and that You'll bring hope and comfort, and we can turn to You for the joy that's missing in the environment. We can turn to You for the peace that's missing in the environment. We can turn to You for whatever circumstances we're in. God, they are not intended to be the place where we get our value and our source of energy. You are supposed to be the one we turn to. So I'm praying over somebody today that You'd help them. We ask this in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. God bless you. We do open the altars to pray. If you need to pray, God bless you. If you need to go, that's fine. Please don't go to McDonald's for lunch. Find something more healthy. God bless you. We love having you. If you're a visitor first time, thank you for coming. We hope to see you soon. God bless you all.